Well, you might like to have your Bibles open to that psalm that we just read. The 23rd psalm, often known as the Shepherd's Psalm. There are many famous passages in the pages of Scripture. Last Sunday evening we looked at one such passage, Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. That passage, I would argue, is probably one of the most memorized proverbs by believers. But this morning, we turn to quite likely the most memorized psalm, Psalm 23. Memorization of passages of Scripture is most helpful to us, and I highly recommend it to you. I, myself, haven't memorized as much as I would like, but it is something that we should strive to do, for it is in our times of need and times when we need great comfort that those passages are brought back to our memory. I remember when I was young in Sunday school, we used to have what was called yearly the Scripture exam, where we used to memorize a portion of Scripture, maybe 10 verses or something like that. And sometimes those come back to me, and it's the Lord's doing, and it is good for us to memorize. And this is one psalm that is so good for us to memorize. There are many all over the world, and I'm sure there is this morning, of whom this psalm has brought great comfort. Alexander McLaren writes, the world could spare many a large book better than this sunny little psalm. It has dried many tears and supplied the mould into which many hearts have poured their peaceful faith. And shepherding, then, here is the great theme of this psalm. As we go through times of difficulty, times when death seems to be at its door, or just other dark times, I'm sure this psalm has proved comforting to you. And I think that it is because of this great metaphor that the psalmist picks up from the rest of Scripture about our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is describing the Lord, the covenant God, the creator of all things, as a shepherd. But this isn't a purely pastoral picture. This isn't a purely farming picture, as it were, caring for the sheep. But it is also a royal picture. You might have noted through Scripture that the kings are often called shepherds of the people. In 1 Chronicles 11:2, we read that God said to David, probably Israel's greatest king, the writer of this psalm, "You shall shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over my people Israel." So this psalm is a royal psalm about the Lord's kingly, shepherd-like care for his people. And as we look at this psalm, we notice that the whole psalm hinges or is framed by that first phrase, that first line. Everything that comes after this first line is dependent on being able to say with all honesty, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." And this begs the question, doesn't it? Who is legitimately able to say that? This is a key question, because throughout the world there are many people that love this psalm who do not love the Lord of this psalm. There are many people that like the idea of having a shepherd in God, but do not love the shepherd. They they like the idea of being cared for throughout their life on this world, in this earth, and they like the idea of having eternal life. But they have never submitted to the suffering servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their king. Sadly, they like the idea, but it is not a reality for them. They have taken great comfort from this psalm, and yet that comfort is misplaced. So we must ask the question, is this a reality for you? Is this a reality for me? Throughout the Old Testament, the Lord is spoken of as the nation's shepherd. Psalm 28 verse 9 is one example. The psalmist says, save your people and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also and bear them up forever. But in this psalm, the psalmist has a very personal note. He's not just saying the Lord is Israel's shepherd. He's not even saying the Lord is our shepherd, though both of those things would be very true. He is saying the Lord is my shepherd. I know the Lord, Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God, is my shepherd. He has a personal knowledge of this covenant God as his shepherd and Lord. So who is it that has or can have this personal relationship? The relationship of sheep to their shepherd. And in answering that question, looking at the location of this psalm in the book of Psalms is very helpful. We notice that Psalm 23 helpfully comes after Psalm 22, the Psalm of the Cross. And we looked at that last week. And this isn't just a coincidence. The book of Psalms hasn't been put together in some haphazard way. Sometimes, admittedly, it can be difficult to see the links between the Psalms, why the Lord has ordered it so. But in this section, we have so clearly and helpfully the construction of the book of Psalms to teach us something. This is no coincidence. They have been ordered under the inspiration and direction of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord, in his wisdom, places the rest and the green pastures and the still waters of Psalm 23 in the context of Psalm 22, the great anguish of the cross. As Spurgeon says, it is only after we have read, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, that we come to the Lord is my shepherd. We must, by experience, know the value of the blood shedding and see the sword awakened against the shepherd before we shall be able truly to know the sweetness of the good shepherd's care. It is only those who know the Lord as Saviour, through the Saviour who gave his life on the cross, that we can know him as our shepherd. And having known him as our shepherd, we are able to call him my shepherd and know the reality of all the benefits that follow in this psalm. And in the New Testament, this becomes even clearer, doesn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ, the one Psalm 22 is speaking of, takes the image of shepherd to himself. Jesus says in that passage that we read before in John 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Just as a side note here, notice what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying about himself. the Israel very clearly understood Yahweh, their covenant God, as the shepherd of Israel, as the great shepherd. And yet now the Lord Jesus Christ is taking that title to himself, saying, I am the good shepherd. And he notes that what he does as the good shepherd, his chief task as the good shepherd, is to lay his own life down for his sheep. They understood this so much that immediately they sought to kill him. They understood that he was claiming to be God. Don't ever let anyone fool you into thinking that the Lord Jesus Christ never claimed to be God. The Lord Jesus Christ clearly identified himself as the Lord. A shepherd, he goes on, he speaks of a shepherd who is hired, often would flee away at the sign of trouble. But the one who owns the sheep, the one who loves the sheep, stays and lays his life down for the sheep. And the Lord Jesus, by his own blood, has purchased his sheep. He has redeemed his sheep to be in his fold, and he loves his sheep. And so we must ask this question, does he have all sheep? Does he have all sheep in his fold? The scriptures speak of all humanity as sheep. Some are sheep that have gone astray. And as sheep, they will get themselves into trouble and be led into destruction. Or we are the sheep of the Lord's fold. Is everyone the Lord's? Well, no, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And so I ask you the question here this morning, both young and old, children and adult alike. Have you heard the words of Jesus? Have you heard the voice of Jesus saying, come and follow me? Do you know him as your shepherd? If you have heard him and you have followed him and turned from your sin and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can take this psalm for yourself. And you can confidently say, the Lord is my shepherd. But my friend, if you are not, if you are still outside his fold, the sheep in the wild, as it were, outside the fold of this great shepherd, You are unable to take the rest of this psalm for yourself. But wonderfully, the Lord Jesus Christ says that I have other sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. And I will draw them to myself. So hear his words this morning. There is yet time. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And so now I would like to turn to look at the shepherd's care. The shepherd's care. We have seen who can call him my shepherd. You who know in your heart that you cannot take this for yourself, just look at the care of the Lord Jesus Christ. The care of our great Saviour for his sheep. And be one to him through his care and his love. And brothers and sisters, let's take great comfort in knowing the great shepherd's care for his sheep. And firstly, in this section of the shepherd's care, we read that he provides. As part of his care, he provides. He provides, so I will not be in want. We read, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The eternal Lord of glory, the self-sufficient, unchanging and unchangeable God provides for his sheep. The one who has everything at his disposal, who has the cattle on 1,000 hills, cares for his sheep. And his sheep will not be in want. You know, sheep are some of the most silly and helpless creatures. They need a shepherd to provide for them. They need a shepherd to guide them to the best food, to protect them from the predators, to lift them up when they fall over, to protect them from all other kinds of dangers. And yet we have here a picture of the good shepherd, the one who cares for his sheep. And that is why sheep is a helpful picture for humanity, for people. Isaiah 53:6 tells us that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. We are like those silly, foolish sheep that cannot defend ourselves, that cannot help ourselves when we get into trouble. We need to look to another. And my friends, the one who we should look to is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd. Just think of a shepherd for a moment. Or we might call him a sheep farmer. Maybe he has a large flock of sheep on the South Downs. And the farmer is greatly experienced with all the skill and the knowledge and the resources required to look after his flock of sheep and keep them in tip-top condition. Not only that, he seems to have wealth at his disposal to provide for all the extra nutrients that he needs to give them and the medical care to keep them in tip-top condition. He has vast acres of lush grazing ground. And yet, one day you are out walking and you come to this farm and there's a walkway through, there's a track through the farm. So you walk through the farm and suddenly, to your surprise, you see a flock of malnourished and mangy sheep, scraggly and diseased ridden. Wool that has not been shorn. All the grass eaten bare, roots and all. And you would be shocked, wouldn't you? Why, when this farmer has the knowledge and understanding how to look after the sheep, and he's got all the wealth at his disposal, all that he needs to look after sheep, why isn't he looking after them? There would be outrage, wouldn't there? Possibly even in the local papers. It's a bit of a silly illustration, I know, because it's fairly obvious that this wouldn't happen, even at a human level. People know how to look after their sheep. But how much more would it be of the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the Lord of glory, looking after his sheep? With everything at his disposal, all the wisdom, all the knowledge, caring for his sheep. My friends, the Lord's sheep, the good shepherd's sheep, will not be in want. But secondly, he gives rest. He gives rest. And I understand that for a sheep to be at rest, it needs a number of things. Apparently, it's very difficult to get a sheep to lie down. They're very cautious and wary creatures. Yet the psalmist says that the Lord makes me to lie down in green pastures. This is a picture of a sheep that is full and has no worries of finding food. A sheep that is healthy, that has no parasites irritating it. There's no friction with other sheep in the flock and no fear of attack. So does this psalm then teach that the believer will have everything he wants? He'll be at perfect rest all his days, have all that he desires. Well, no, that is not what the psalmist here is speaking of. In fact, he alludes to those enemies that he has later on in the passage, doesn't he? He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And yet David knows the rest of his soul in the shepherd's care. Sheep are unlike us. They're not concerned with the luxuries of this world. They are concerned with the things that they need. They are concerned, and as long as their needs are satisfied and met, they are able to lay down in safety. What a great picture of contentment in the Lord, in the great shepherd we have here. He makes me to lie down in green pastures where there is much abundance of food. And then we note, he leads in his shepherdly care. He leads. Another thing that sheep need is leading or guidance. Apparently, sheep are creatures of habit. They often, even though a good shepherd has guided them to good grazing ground, if they have opportunity, will go back to a familiar place, even though there is no food there. And they often get themselves into trouble, and they need a watchful shepherd to look after them, to guide them, to draw them back to a place where they can be nourished. And how often we stray from the straight and narrow. How often we look for nourishment in other things, look for contentment in other things other than our Saviour, other than his word. This should be a warning to us not to be like sheep, rebellious sheep that will keep going back to the dry pasture land of this world, but turn to our shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep, and look to him and where he leads. For where he leads is good. He says, he leads me besides the still waters. He goes on and says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. He leads, he guides. Just think of David throughout his life. Firstly, being a shepherd of the sheep, of the flock of his father. And then being drawn into the kingly role as king of Israel. And all the turmoil he had throughout his life. Yet he could say, even through all that, the Lord has led me. The Lord has guided me in righteous paths. The Lord has led me beside still waters. Those refreshing still waters where the sheep are not afraid of the rushing torrents, but they are able to cool off and they are able to quench their thirst. I'm sure in these hot days, and especially in the coming couple of days, you will enjoy a cold glass of water to quench your thirst. Maybe even a dip in the sea or in a dip in a paddling pool to refresh yourself. And that is the picture here of refreshment, restoration, the cool waters on a hot day. And my friends, we know from the New Testament that it is the Holy Spirit that leads and guides us to the Lord Jesus Christ, points us to him, the one who relieves the thirsty soul. He says in Revelation 22:17, let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Are you thirsty this morning, brother or sister? Parched in this hot and dusty world, full of difficulties, full of concerns, full of troubles. Well, go to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will give you the waters freely. But notice, it is for his name's sake he does this. It is for his name's sake that he guides us in the paths of righteousness, that he refreshes his people. It is for his glory. As for the earthly shepherd, a healthy sheep brings him honour and praise, I'm sure, in the farming community. God brings glory to himself as he guides his own sheep in the good ways, in righteous ways. As one commentator says, God functions as the shepherd of his people for the glory of his... God functions as the shepherd of his people for the glory of his own name. And we should take great comfort in this, shouldn't we? Because the glory of God is the ultimate and greatest good. He is the greatest being. He is the holiest being. The one who is perfect, high and lifted up. And we are in him. And we are made for him and for his glory. The great catechism says that we are to glorify him and to enjoy him forever. We must seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. My friends, we must seek the Lord's glory in every part of our life, for he leads us in those righteous paths for his glory's sake. But we also read that he restores. He restores. This is a very practical and realistic psalm. Sometimes a sheep will stumble or lay down because of needing rest. And because of fright or something else, it causes them to tip over. Maybe they have a heavy fleece. Or they roll into a little dip in the ground. And its center of gravity tips them over. And with a sheep, the way it's made, it cannot get up. Apparently, this is called a cast sheep. Very well known to farmers. And when a sheep is cast in this condition, flailing around, gases begin to build up in its belly, and within a matter of hours, it suffocates to death. It cannot, in any way in itself, restore itself. And when a shepherd discovers a sheep like this, he will come and gently reassure the sheep, seek to calm it down, and massage its legs, seeking to get the circulation back into its legs, and turn it over gently, holding it on its feet until it regains its strength and equilibrium. And that is the picture many people think David is thinking about here. We remember that David was a shepherd. He would have experienced this time and again, of the shepherd caring for his sheep, restoring his sheep. And we must remember that this psalm is not just talking about sheep. David is talking about himself. And we, as we apply it to ourselves, can apply it to ourselves as a sheep in this cast condition, flailing on our backs spiritually because of sin, because of grief, because of worry, because of anxiety, unable to restore ourselves. And yet we have a loving shepherd who will come and restore us when we cannot restore ourselves, and set us into life again, into the paths of righteousness. Just think, when we sin and we fall into a pattern of sin, and we are eating ourselves up with grief and sorrow about that sin, and we are ultimately heading for destruction in that sin, the Lord Jesus will come to us as we repent and as we turn and call out to him as that sheep bleating for help. He will restore us and forgive us. Think of Peter after he denied his Lord. After the resurrection of our Saviour, the Lord came to him and restored him once again to life and service. And so he does with all his people. But the final thing I would like to notice here in the shepherd's care is that he protects his sheep. When it is time for the sheep to move to a new area for food, often the shepherd would have to lead them through deep, dark valleys. Remember, this is written in the Middle East, and in that area there would have been these deep, dark, craggy valleys, gorges with steep sides where the sun never seemed to reach the floor of the valley, and where there would be lots of rocks and hiding places for the wolves and other predators to be hiding in. As they contemplated going through that valley, they must go through that valley to get to the fields on the other side. Yet there was great dangers on the way. There was dangers both from the sheep being foolish, getting themselves into trouble, falling from rocks, falling into holes. And there was great dangers from the enemies that could attack. Think of a Western film. I don't know if you've ever seen any, but I remember when I used to watch Western films as a boy. And you'd see some cowboys or the cavalry coming, and they would all of a sudden halt and pause for a moment before they had to go through that canyon, because they know that the enemy might be in there, taking advantage of the hiding places, taking advantage of the high points. And they had to think about it before they went in, and they had to be on guard before they went through, though they needed to. And that is what the psalmist is speaking of here. He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." This is not only speaking about death itself, but other places that are dark. The darkness of life that sometimes comes. Bewilderment, when it does seem there are dangers on every side and darkness is at hand. He says, "I will fear no evil." Why is that? Because you are with me. The great shepherd is with David, protecting him from harm. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. We know David humanly as a good shepherd, and he sought to fight the bear and the lion. And yet David in his life also knew those times when people were against him. Times of anguish and pain. Times when death seemed to be just round the corner. Yet he could confess that "I fear no evil because you are with me." He knew the good shepherd's protection with his rod, fending off all the enemies, protecting him from all that would cause him to perish, and the comfort of knowing that the good shepherd's staff was to hand to lift him up out of those ditches, to draw him back into the ways of righteousness. Just think when he sinned that great way with Bathsheba, and the Lord in his loving kindness sent Nathan the prophet to bring him back, to chasten him, to pick him up with his shepherd hook, as it were, to guide him back into the way. That was the experience of David, and that can be the experience of each one of us, the care of the good shepherd. Brothers and sisters, I pray that this psalm will continue to be our experience, your experience, and bring you great comfort in times of darkness. May you ever be looking to him for your sustenance, for your hope, and looking to none other, for all others are thieves that come in to destroy. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ, your good shepherd. But friends, you who cannot rightly say, "The Lord is my shepherd," see what you are missing out here. See what great God the believer has. One who cares for his own, protects and provides for his own, and guides them throughout this life, and ultimately will take them to glory, that we may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a wonderful hope the believer has. What a wonderful Saviour. What a wonderful shepherd. May you come to know this good shepherd at that cross, where the Lord Jesus Christ laid his life down for his sheep. Hear his voice today and follow him. If you do, you then will be able to truly take this great psalm and say, "The Lord is my shepherd," and take all those benefits and comforts for yourself. Amen.